You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farad.
The political fallout after President Trump fired FBI Director James Comey on Tuesday may just be beginning. The White House said the president made the decision on the recommendation of the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, who faulted the way Comey handled the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails during the presidential campaign.
But Democratic and some Republican lawmakers have questioned the timing and motivation of the dismissal. Comey was leading the FBI investigation into Trump's associates and any potential ties to Russia.
In a written statement, Republican Senator John McCain said that he believed Comey had led the FBI well. He also repeated his call for a special congressional committee to investigate Russia's interference in the election. He said, quote, "The president's decision to remove the FBI director only confirms the need and the urgency of such a committee."
But there are plenty of GOP lawmakers who are not on board with McCain. Joining us now to tell us more is Perry Bacon Jr. He's a senior political writer at 538. Perry, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Well, Perry, this story is changing and developing quickly, but you wrote about Senate Republicans' response to Comey's termination. What's the range? What kind of things have we heard from various Republican senators?
So, first of all, what you've seen from the Democrats is they all have pretty much called for some kind of special counsel or special prosecutor, which would be someone who works in DOJ but is somewhat separate from the hierarchy, who would look into this sort of a separate investigation. But so far, no Republican in the Senate is for that. John McCain is for setting up some kind of special committee in Congress to investigate this, but John McCain is alone on this. What we otherwise saw was the members split into three different pretty much equal camps. There were some members who said, basically defended the Comey firing and said it was appropriate. Some who issued comments that were sort of vague to the point where it was hard to see where they stood. The comment was basically like, you know, I wish the new FBI director luck, but nothing about the actual firing. And then you saw about a third of the members, folks like Ben Sasse from Nebraska, Jeff Flake from Arizona, for example. There were about 12 to 15 members who were Republicans who said essentially, I have concerns about this. The president should explain it more. They didn't necessarily condemn the firing, but they didn't necessarily endorse it either, and they sort of raised some concerns about it and suggested they weren't sure the president made the right decision.
And so, yeah, you mentioned John McCain, the only Republican senator, calling for some kind of new investigation apart from what's going on. Do you expect to see other Republican senators join in this, or is this going to be McCain only in this instance?
You know, I think Republican senators are trying to figure out this story's evolving. So I think a lot of the members said Tuesday and into Wednesday, they essentially said, okay, the deputy attorney general, who we just confirmed, who's had a career being fairly nonpartisan, recommended this firing. So that was how they defended the firing in some ways. The news of today, where the president essentially said, I made the decision, it was my decision, I was going to fire Comey no matter what, it changes that dynamic a little bit. Members, from what I saw today, Richard Burr from North Carolina, for example, members are sort of wary about this process and how the firing happened, but I don't necessarily know that they know what to say or what to do. They don't want to call for a special prosecutor, but they, I think, want to go a bit there. I think they're trying to figure out how do you express some dissatisfaction with this process without necessarily undermining the president.
Right. It seems like they're a little uncertain to the ground as the story evolves
right
here, because the initial, as you're saying, the first kind of explanation of what happened was Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, started this process of his own initiative. He brought the report in. Trump listened to that. The president listened to that and went with it. But here's that interview, President Trump talking to NBC's Lester Holt.
Monday, you met with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Did you ask for a recommendation?
What I did is I was going to fire Comey. My decision. It was not...
You had made the decision before they came in the room.
I was going to fire Comey. There's no good time to do it, by the way.
Because in your letter, you said I accepted their recommendation.
Yeah, well,
so
also,
you had already made the decision.
I was going to fire regardless of recommendation.
So there was really...
He made a recommendation. He's highly respected. Very good guy. Very smart guy. The Democrats like him. The Republicans like him. He made a recommendation. But regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey.
Now, that's different, again, than this than what we had heard from the president's main spokespeople and from some supporters in Congress. What does that interview do to congressional reaction, then?
It undermines the president's story, and it makes members nervous because they don't, you know, again, we're in a situation where they... And you've seen this throughout these. I mean, the short answer is members are sort of giving comments that are more measured. They're not sure what to say. They've given comments like, I want to learn more about the situation here. Today there was a hearing in which the new acting FBI director was on the Hill, and basically members kept asking him, are you committed to continuing the investigation? Will you handle it in a nonpartisan way? And he said yes. He was asked about the comments from the White House, essentially, that said Comey was not respected by the FBI officers, and the new acting director said, no, we respect Comey a lot. So he came out and again, rebutted the president. So you saw members kind of take those comments in. I still don't really know what levels of power they really have. Like, it's a decision Trump made, and members can't necessarily dissent from it. So it's not clear to me. And the Republicans don't want to hire a special prosecutor. So if it's like that's the only thing they can do, they're not going to do that. So it's not clear to me what they can do that's besides the special prosecutor, but still to suggest that they're concerned. And you also have to think about, for Republicans, on the one hand, there's been wariness throughout his tenure from Republicans about Trump's behavior and his conduct and the comments he made about Obama wiretapping him, which were not true. At the same time, Republicans want a conservative Supreme Court. They want tax cuts passed. They want an Obamacare repeal. And Trump has been helpful in terms of passing their agenda. So I think they have some incentives to defend him at times, and they're caught between defending his policies and criticizing his behavior.
We're talking to Perry Bacon, senior political writer at 538, about how GOP lawmakers are reacting to President Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey.
And you can tell us what you think by calling 800-642-1234 or by posting on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think that a special prosecutor should look into the Russia investigation? How do you think Congress should be responding to the decision to dismiss James Comey? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our conversation with Perry Bacon, senior political writer at 538, about how Republican lawmakers are reacting to President Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234 or by posting on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of the decision to fire FBI Director James Comey? What do you make of the reaction from Congress so far? Would you like to see Republicans support Trump's decision, or should they challenge him? Do you think a special prosecutor should investigate ties with Russia? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Before we go to our callers, Barry, here's House Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican, of course, Speaker. He says he didn't think there was a need to have a special prosecutor looking into Russian interference in the election. Here's a listener's interview with Fox's Brett Baer.
Senator McCain and a few others are calling for a special prosecutor. Obviously, Democrats are in lockstep on calling for that.
Idea.
Why is that not a good idea?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we have three investigations going on right now. We have a House investigation by our Intelligence Committee, which is the appropriate committee to do that, I believe. And we have a Senate Intelligence Committee. You just played Richard Burr doing an investigation. And you have the FBI investigating all things Russia.
And we've heard this argument from others, Perry, that, hey, we've got these three investigations. We don't need another. What's been the argument, especially from Democrats, in favor of a special prosecutor?
I think we sort of know that the House committee has had a lot of problems. Of course, Devin Nunes was in some ways coordinating with the White House about some of the intelligence. So the House committee, we're not sure if it's working that well. My understanding is the Senate committee with Richard Burr and Mark Warner is working better. And obviously there are questions now about the FBI investigation because James Comey was heavily involved in it and has now been dismissed. So on some level, the response, I think, from Democrats, and I think appropriately, has been to some extent, do we have three investigations or do we have one investigation that's really functioning at this point. I mean, Ryan's point is correct, that if you had three strong investigations going, that would be one thing. It's not clear to me, like the House process, I'm not clear on exactly where it is now, in part because a lot of these investigations are happening in secret, too, so it's not always clear where they are and where they stand, but you do have at least two of them that have had some major problems.
Let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. Nate joins us in Coloma. Nate, hi.
Thank you. It's kind of my comment is a follow-up of the previous presenter here. The crucial issue here is that American democracy and the presidency is in crisis right now, and the crisis is around confidence. And without a special prosecutor that is independent of the political process, be it either Democrat or Republican, there will be no confidence in the outcome of whether the Russians actually meddled in the American democratic election process or not.
Nate, I got you, Nate. Thanks a lot for the call. And President Trump said, hey, we had lost confidence in James Comey and he's not alone saying we're losing confidence in the integrity of our elections if we don't investigate this well, Perry.
Yeah, I think there's at least two different issues we're talking about here. Is one, I think the conclusion is pretty broadly understood now that there was Russian interference in the election. And I think all these committees are investigating that as well. So that's one reason to be confident of our electoral system, no matter what party you're in. If this hacking happened of one of our major parties by a foreign country, that's problematic no matter what party you're in. You have the second part of it, which I think you're seeing a lot of a partisan split about, both in the Congress and in the public, about whether, one, you believe that allies of Trump had some connection to the Russians, and then B, how much and how we should investigate that, and how that should be investigated is a more of a different issue. So you have a few different issues in terms of our electoral system being debated here.
Nate, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Sarkis in Manitowoc. Hi.
Hi. I'll just make a quick comment here, but I think that this is a terrifying situation. I agree with the previous caller for our democracy. I mean, here we have elected officials who are supposed to be speaking the minds of the people, afraid to speak their minds about the actions of the president out of fear of what that might do with their relationship with the president. This should only encourage investigation. This should only encourage digging deeper into this situation. People should not be stepping away from what just happened. We should be stepping and pushing further forward.
Sarkis, thanks for the call. And Perry, this has definitely stimulated even more interest in this Russia investigation. The departure of Comey doesn't put an end to any investigation, does it?
Yeah, the acting FBI director said the investigation will continue. And he said it would not change at all. I mean, the key thing is we don't really know what happened, because on some level, is there some kind of chilling effect if you're the FBI? Because the narrative of the last few days seems to be that the president wanted Mr. Comey to resign, in part because Mr. Comey was determined to continue the Russia investigation. So that's the question is, we heard today the FBI will continue to investigate, but we don't necessarily know, is it at the same level? Will it be as intense? Is there now worry that it can't really be investigated? So that's why the FBI investigation is important, but the congressional ones are important too, because Congress is an independent branch that is not accountable or not required to sort of follow Trump's edict. So we know Congress is separate from Trump. Of course, Congress is still run by Republicans, so you still do have that sort of, you know, partisan team mentality there. So the question will be, we don't necessarily, this is uncharted territory in a lot of ways. The one thing to think about is the comparisons are, and I'm not saying whether Trump did something or not, I don't know. But in the Nixon era, the Democrats ran Congress. In the Clinton era, by the time Clinton was in controversy, the Republicans ran Congress. So you, on some level, you had the other party prosecuting you on some level. It's different here because you have the same party in control of Congress and the executive branch, at least right now.
John McCain, I think, was the one who said this is a centipede. There's always another shoe that's going to drop. What, Perry, are you watching for? What piece of information are you hoping to get next?
I mean, I'm watching for these investigations. What I'm looking for next is to find out, are these three investigations actually going on? Meaning, are they calling witnesses? Are witnesses coming to the meetings? If you're at the FBI, do FBI agents feel comfortable that they can investigate this? I'm looking less for, I don't know that we're ever going to get some kind of smoking gun that proves something, or that we're never going to get a smoking gun or what, but right now I'm more focused on, are these investigations able to proceed as they would have before? Is Comey leaving just something the president doesn't like him, or was that a way to stop the investigation? I think we'll get some indications of that in these next few weeks.
Perry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I've been talking to Perry Bacon Jr. He's a senior political writer at 538.com. He joined us to talk about how Republicans are reacting to Donald Trump's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey.
One year ago, Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel wrote an opinion that opened the floodgates for high-capacity well permits in Wisconsin. It led the Department of Natural Resources to approve almost 200 well permits that had previously been stalled. Sean Johnson reports on one of them.
Tom Coons bought his house on Pleasant Lake in Washera County more than 30 years ago. His real estate agent, Fred Erickson, has been his neighbor ever since.
I suppose you want your money back now, Tom. Is that right?
As the two sit down for coffee with friends, Coons remembers when Erickson first showed him the lake. Coons was sold.
He put us in his little, his boat with a, 20-horse motor or whatever, and took us around Pleasant Lake. And you could see 15, 16 feet down into the lake.
Erickson says he still takes prospective homebuyers out on his boat, only the lake is a lot lower than it used to be. And Erickson warns people that lake levels could drop even more because of nearby high-capacity wells. That includes a nearby well permit that was granted by the DNR last year after Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel's opinion.
I have a moral obligation, first of all, because I'm your neighbor here at the lake, and I'm a friend to begin with.
But Erickson says it goes beyond that. He says he's professionally obligated to tell prospective buyers, even though it won't help him sell houses.
Yes, I am, because I have information that's pertinent to the property they're buying. And if I don't tell them about that, I could lose my license.
Erickson may feel a duty to warn people about the impacts of high-capacity wells, but the state of Wisconsin no longer operates under any such obligation. Last May, Schimmel's advisory opinion upended the way the state handles well permits. Attorney Carl Cinderbrand represents Pleasant Lake landowners and others who are challenging several wells that moved forward. He says lakes and streams have always been protected by the Wisconsin Constitution's public trust doctrine.
It has always been part of our organic law, and it has been always been very protected by our Supreme Court.
The state Supreme Court issued a unanimous decision in 2011 declaring that the public trust doctrine also extends to groundwater. The court wrote that the DNR has the authority and a general duty to consider whether high-capacity wells will harm lakes and streams. Justices also said the DNR should use its expertise and its discretion to do that. That eventually led the agency to consider the cumulative impacts of all wells on a watershed when considering new permits. Schimmel said the court did not consider new powers lawmakers gave themselves in 2011 over agency rules like cumulative impact. Pressed on his rationale at a recent legislative hearing, Schimmel described his order this way.
Authority for regulatory agencies and rules comes from the legislature.
The DNR had 190 high-capacity well permit applications it had set aside before Schimmel's opinion, some of which the agency admits it was going to have to deny. After Schimmel's opinion, all 190 of those backlogged permits were approved, including one for the well near Pleasant Lake. DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp told a legislative panel recently that lawmakers need to be specific if they want to regulate high-capacity wells.
So here's the big policy question that I think all of you are going to be grappling with going forward. When we talk about things like cumulative impacts, there is no definition to that.
Before Schimmel's opinion, DNR regulators used science and the power that courts had given them to set those definitions. When it came to the proposed well near Pleasant Lake, regulators were willing to grant a permit, but with strict limitations. After Schimmel's opinion, those restrictions came off. The DNR increased the permit near Pleasant Lake from 36 million gallons to 272 million gallons of water per year. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This story is part of a year-long reporting project at WPR called State of Change, Water, Food, and the Future of Wisconsin. Find stories on Morning Edition, All Things Considered, the Ideas Network, and online at WPR.org/change.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, a guest tells us that the American economy is becoming a broken ladder with a growing gap between the rich and the poor and no way to get from the bottom up to the top.
We'll find out why a Wisconsin Democrat in Congress is holding a town hall in a neighboring district represented by a Republican.
And on Food Friday, we hear all about herbs. We'll meet the Wisconsin authors of a new cookbook that shares great uses for fresh herbs in our cooking and in our crafts.
Plus, the weekly roundup of Wisconsin news and a look at the top news stories of the day. That's all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.